This is the Dairy Brothers Tribecast, a podcast for diehard Cleveland Indians fans. Presented to you by WaitingForNextYear.com. Now, here are the hosts, Matt and Todd Dairy.
It is Monday, and you know what that means, everybody. It is the Dairy Brothers Tribecast. Matt and Todd with you. Thanks to our friends from the Center for Advanced Dentistry, Dr. Ben Hornstein, and BreakingT.com, best t-shirts you'll ever find sports-wise. Tribe takes 2 out of 3 from the unnamed team over the weekend, Todd. That was a very thrilling and exciting. Mr. Sunday, Bradley Zimmer, who only seems to hit big home runs or at least deliver big hits on Sundays, did it a couple of weeks ago against the A's, and yesterday, what was a pretty god-awful baseball game, to be honest. But at least the Wahoos took 2 out of 3 from the unnamed team, as their fan base and member of their and many members of the media that cover them were just chomping at the bit to overtake the Tribe for second place. So the parade on Woodward Avenue in Detroit is on hold for now.
Well, listen, if there was anybody who wanted to win this series more than the players on the team, it was you, because we know how passionate you are against the unnamed team. And, you know, they've been feeling themselves lately. I know that I think it was John Heyman, your favorite MLB writer, mentioned that they had the third best record in the American League over the last, 50 games. And, they're raking and da-da-da, the young players and I have to hear about how great, Casey Mize and Matt Manning and Scooble are for another 5 seconds. I'm going to vomit. But it was nice to take 2 of 3. Friday night was very enjoyable because, as we've discussed many times on this podcast, the Indians don't play close games. I mean, don't play games that aren't close when they win, should I say. Every win seems to be 5-2 in extra innings, 3-3. This week was the prime example. They won 3 games. One was in extra innings, 5-2. 7-5 was yesterday, and then they had the one where they actually won 6-1 on Friday night. So, most importantly, they're playing the kids now, and we are learning about a lot of these guys. And this is a period of development and planning for 2022. The issue is change, Matt. Change for the future.
I mean, really, and if people are new to the podcast, and we welcome you and thank you for listening, we refer to the Detroit Tigers as the unnamed team for various reasons. And yes, to give A.J. Hinch and his staff credit, guys like Chris Federer, his pitching coach, and Scott Coolbaugh, the hitting coach, you've seen certain guys make strides because I think they're coaching. Because basically it's been a lot of the same roster outside of Akil Baddoo and Eric Haas. It's mostly a lot of the same guys, but some of those guys have gotten better. Baddoo out of nowhere, Haas, and it's coaching. And unfortunately, on our end, I don't see a lot of development, especially on the hitting side, and I don't want to turn this into a Ty Van Berkelio bash session, but the Indians don't have a lot of guys that you're sitting here going, man, these guys have broken out with the bats. Usually it has to be Jose and Franmil that carry the load. Zimmer delivered yesterday, big two-run home run to unlock a 5-5 tie, but let's be honest, the Indians got very lucky yesterday with, Zach Short throwing the ball all over the place, a couple of bloop hits, including the one by Hedges. And because Hinch was managing Saturday night's game like it was Game 7 of the World Series, his bullpen was pretty shot for yesterday, so he had to have Erasmo Ramirez out there. And luckily, Bad Brad ran into one. And
I can't believe Erasmo Ramirez is still in the majors. Like, when they brought him in, I'm like, this can't be the same guy from the Mariners like 10 years ago who was bad.
I couldn't
believe he was still out there. But you bring up a good point. By the way, while we're not huge fans of Ty Van Berkelio, we are huge fans of Mrs. Ty Van Berkelio, who sat next to the executive producer during the World Series run in 2016. So shout out to Mrs. Van Berkelio and the daughter, by the way. I don't remember.
Okay.
Names.
Settle down.
Okay, but in all seriousness, you're totally right. Where is the development from the hitting standpoint at the major league level here? You just don't see it.
No,
you don't.
No, especially with the outfielders, and Owen Miller just absolutely rakes and hits in spring training, and everybody's like, wait till he comes up. It's going to take some time, but let him start in Columbus. Fine, starts in Columbus, is hitting 400, 500. whatever, comes up here and he's hitting 100, you know, and it's like, that's what's, you know, you look at the lineups over the weekend, anytime the two teams played, and you go, man, you know, but Badu's OPS is near 800. Eric Haas, he's a former Indian, so that hurts. Now, again, we seem to pitch him pretty well. He didn't have a great weekend. He didn't hit home runs like he's been doing, but he's had a fantastic year. You know, Jonathan Scope has become a pretty solid number two hitter and just got a contract extension. So that's where you look up and say, man, they're a different team under Hinch, who's a World Series winning manager. I mean, he's a cheater, but he's a World Series winning manager and is a damn good one. And he and his staff have done a really good job. And so you look up last week and you go, wait a minute, Detroit's only two games, 1.5 games behind us. Now the lead is back to 2.5. But in the grand scheme of things, who really cares? Neither of these teams are winning the division. Our goal is Indians fans or Guardians fans. We want to win. I don't care about Detroit or Kansas City or Minnesota. Or, hey, we got to finish second. What does that mean? You know, but in the grand scheme of things, you're right. The development part, you know, when Mercado's up there, was it Saturday night? Every time we needed a base hit, he couldn't deliver it. Hitting fifth.
That's your problem right there is that Oscar Mercado, you just said it yourself. Oscar Mercado was hitting fifth. That 2-1 loss Saturday night. In the 7th, 8th, and 9th innings, it feels like they literally left on 85 runners. That was a bad loss. It was a bad loss for several reasons, but it was the old, we're going to sit around, we're going to, you know, and wait for Franmil Reyes and Jose Ramirez to deliver the goods, and they didn't. And, you know, it was not a great day for Jose. That was one of the worst games I've ever seen him play, to be honest, from the bat. I mean, the at-bats were not great, but yeah, I mean that's the problem, and you're trying on the fly to find guys who can complement these two, and it's crazy to think, and this is one of the topics on our list, but have you seen Bradley Zimmer's numbers since the All-Star break? 325 with an 882 OPS.
Oh God,
how about that? Well, of course, now it happens because he's trying to, you know, make the decision. He's trying to stick around and make himself part of the future, especially now that Miles Straw's been added, who I'm sure we'll talk about, who has looked great since he's come over.
Well, you know, I like him a lot, and I think that trade, sending Uncle Phil Maton to Houston for Straw, helped both teams. I haven't seen what Phil has done with the Astros, to be honest. But with Straw, it's simple. I mean, the defense that he plays in center field is unbelievable. And when you've got a lackluster defensive, you know, setup at shortstop when Everyday Ahmed is playing, and at second base, and then on the corners with the outfield, although when Mercado's out there and Zimmer's out there, it's not too bad. It's actually decent. But, you know, even the other night there was a play where it was in no man's land in left center. Harold wasn't getting there. Ahmed wasn't getting there. And Ahmed nearly smashed into Straw, and Straw made that sliding catch. That kid covers a lot of ground, and he hits the ball hard. I think it was yesterday he struck out after we had tied the game at 5 in a really bad at-bat, but rarely do you see those bad at-bats. He puts the ball in play. He's got some speed. He's under team control. He hits from the right side, which is nice because I think we've got a lot of left-handed bats, although now we're almost getting back to being all right-handed again. It's weird. But I like him, and I like that pickup. And to me, for next year, sitting here right now going, what's the Indians outfield for 2022 right now? He's the one guy. The one guy I'm counting on so far. I mean, I think Harold could be a fourth or fifth outfielder. Zimmer could be a fourth or fifth outfielder. Mercado could be a fourth or fifth outfielder. Who are our main guys? Because it has to get it has to be better.
Exactly.
It has to improve. George Valera is not walking through that door yet. The guy's got 12 home runs at Lake County. I don't know why he's not at Akron yet. Maybe this week. But he's a couple years away.
Yeah, and you know, it's interesting. You look, every lineup this weekend was kind of different because they're just mixing and matching, and they're trying to figure out who is going to be, you know, a part of this future. And I will say that the way it sounds and looks to me is that Straw's going to be given every chance to be the everyday center fielder the rest of the way and next year, right? And hit leadoff.
Yeah.
So you got that, which is good. Bobby Bradley had 2 hits over the weekend, but on Friday before he ended up getting hurt with his knee and having to come out of the game. And then Harold Ramirez actually was moved at first, which was kind of interesting. Didn't know that exists. But, like, the lineup, you know, you had Ernie Clement in there. You had Owen Miller in there. You had Harold. You had Oscar. You had Zimmer. You had Bobby Bradley. Ahmed Rosario. It's just one question mark after another, and you really don't know. You know, oh, Andres Jimenez is now up. You know, throw him in the mix.
Ernie.
If I didn't say Ernie, I apologize. Ernie should be basically super utility, playing all over the place. You know, there's just so many different guys. It's basically like the only ones you know for a fact are basically Jose Ramirez at third and Franmil Reyes DHing. Everything else at this point is kind of up for grabs. Even Roberto Perez now, he's back injured.
I think we're seeing the end of him. I think this is it.
You know, the executive producer brought this up in the text thread and as a topic, and I think it's very interesting. You know, you got Austin Hedges, who made $3 million this year and will probably make a similar amount next year. I believe he's in arbitration. Roberto's got that team option for, I believe, $7.5 million for next year. Now,
I thought it was six.
You think it was? All right. Well, look it up while I'm talking. But to your point, Roberto, I love him. Nobody handles a staff better. Nobody frames better. He's awesome, right? But it's not like he's been hitting. He hasn't hit since two seasons ago when he had his, you know, breakout where he had the 20 plus homers. But unfortunately for the Indians, their two top catching prospects are both AA guys who are probably going to need one more year in AAA, which probably bodes well for Roberto in picking up his club option.
$7 million for next year.
Okay, so it's $7 million for next year. So he and Hedges probably will make a combined $10 million next year. Do you roll the dice and don't pick up his option and have Rene Rivera come back and be the backup? Rene was not terrible when he was here. Right now, Wilson Ramos is backing up Austin Hedges. He's a terrible defender, but he still has a lot of power. He had three hits and a homer on Friday.
Yeah, he stood and watched that one for a while. That was kind of sweet.
Against his old team.
The Revenge Tour. That's a great bit.
But so you have Josh Naylor's brother, Bo Naylor, who is a former first-round pick, who's in AA, and your boy, how do you pronounce his last name? Brian, is it
Lavastida.
Okay, yeah. So those are your two top catching prospects, and they're both very good hitters, and from what you hear, solid defenders. But again, they're at least another year away. So I think they probably will pick up Roberto's option, especially if they say they're going to be adding payroll, because the development of this young pitching staff is still what's going to be the most important.
Oh, I don't think there's any question about it. And all of a sudden you look up and you say, man, if McKenzie can pitch like he's been pitching as of late, Quantrill as well, then you've got the big three of Bieber, Savali, and Plesac, although Zach has really struggled. And then, you know, Eli Morgan's pitched pretty well.
How about Eli, by the way?
You love his moxie.
Really good. Yeah. He was really, really good Saturday again.
You know, Cody Morris is coming. I mean, like, so they're you know, all of a sudden you've got a riches again of starters, which would be nice. But again, maybe that's how you're going to end up getting another legitimate outfielder for the future, is having to trade one of those people.
Are you really going to trade more young starting pitching after you basically just traded away Bauer, you traded away Clevenger? You know, Kluber's obviously was traded away, but that he was done. And we've seen this year, in terms of depth, it's been a roller coaster. I mean, McKenzie's been very good, and he's also been terrible. Sam Hentges, who is going to be starting Monday's bullpen game, he has kind of shown himself to be a reliever more than a starter. Morgan's been good, but, you know, it took him a little while. Logan Allen, terrible. You know, so you can never have enough pitching depth, and I know the Indians don't have a lot of areas of strength. The area of strength to trade is one of these up the middle guys. You know, you're loaded. You know, right. We talked about this before, but you got Jimenez and Gabriel Arias and Ahmed Rosario, who I know you don't like, but does have some value and is swinging a hot bat. One of those guys.
I wouldn't go that far.
No, but I'm just
swinging
saying,
a hot bat. I mean, he's fine.
Well, he's
fine.
He's fine, but my point is he's got some value out there.
Yes.
He's someone you could trade and someone would play as a starting position player every day, or at least a super utility guy who you move around the diamond. My point is that's the area that you trade from is those middle infielders, because you're so loaded with those guys and you have so many other guys that are behind it. I mean, we didn't even talk about your boy Richie Palacios. I mean, you know, who had his first home run in AAA over the weekend and played center field, by the way. I don't know if you noticed that.
Well, they're moving this weekend. That Columbus team is exciting, and they're moving guys up, and you know, Oscar Gonzalez is down there. And, you know, you brought up Josh Naylor before, just referencing Bo, his brother, but Josh Naylor's another guy that, like...
Yeah, you forget he's even here, right?
They've got so many of these
fringe guys.
Third and fourth and fifth outfielders. There's no one that you
Correct.
Go, stud, you know, Vladdy Jr., Grichik, Badu, and these are just guys we saw this week on the other team. That's what.
Oh, come on, I wouldn't go so crazy about Badu, but
no, you know what I mean. But Akil Badu, next year that team is going to be putting him out there.
George Springer, there's no young George Springer on this team. You know, there's no young. I'm not going to say Mike Trout, but you know what I mean. Like, there's no A level outfielders there who.
Right, Cedric Mullins, guys like that.
There you go. Yeah, absolutely. Someone like that. We don't have that. We just don't.
No. No.
Straws right now.
Straws the man.
Like the most proven guy you got out there.
I really like him. I like him a
Me
lot.
Too.
Zach Meisel wrote a nice piece on him. Shout out to Zach, by the way. Zach Meisel. Yesterday's DeMarlo Hale post-game presser, and I listened to it live on 1100. And
3WE?
Right. Yes. 38 states and half of Canada. Gary D, middays. what a show.
Talk radio. Gary D is talk radio. Talk radio is Gary D.
That's right. What a. Imagine him and then with Drennan doing his sports. Could you imagine listening to that now?
Dragline?
Call the business line. But where was I going? Oh, Zach on the post game yesterday. So DeMarlo Hale's talking, and quite honestly, DeMarlo Hale's fine. He's done a nice job as interim manager and acting manager. He actually handled the bullpen, I thought, very well over the weekend. But his post game press conferences aren't exactly Jim Gaffigan in front of a big, you know, big crowd type of thing. And
Jim Gaffigan,
the comedian.
Where'd you pull that one from?
Have you ever watched Jim Gaffigan? He's hilarious. He's a very, very funny comedian. If there's
he's
one,
no Craig Gass.
he's no Nick DiPaolo, but or Sal Governale for that matter. But Meisel, Zach is asking Hale. So you know, it's the usual just cavalcade of softballs. You know, what'd you think of police, Zach? You know, like you know, and then Meisel just goes, "Yeah, do you have a starting pitcher for tomorrow?" It was like all business. DeMarlo Hill's like, yeah, we think it's Henches, but we're not sure yet. We'll let you know, but we think it's him, and we think it's him. Like, he just, like, didn't give him an answer. So I texted Zach and thanked him for getting right to the point. You know, Zach's like, hey, whatever it takes for pitching matchups. He knows. He's a P1.
Yeah. And right now, who knows who they're going to start in that fifth spot. Mejia is now in the minors. And
thank goodness.
Oy. I can't even believe I said I liked him better than Quantrill about a month ago.
I know. And look, I think JC has some value. I just, man, the fact he starts every game in the hole and just first innings, he can't get out of them. It just,
it's
like you have to start. It's almost like you have
Trevor
to.
Bauer,
yeah, you have to almost, right. You have to almost have to start an opener and let him come in the second or third inning, which is ridiculous. But
could have done that with Trevor Stephan, which you and I have been wanting him to do for a couple weeks.
Extra pod topic was just texted to us from executive producer. Well, but that's no names, please. But, you know, speaking
of... check that out.
talk about one-trick ponies. Not Jeremy, but the picture he sent. But anyway, so Matt and Todd with you. It's a Dairy Brothers Tribecast. Indians have a big game tonight, 6 o'clock. I have a client dinner at 6:30 tonight, so I don't know how I'm going to pull this one off. But Tribe and Reds for the Ohio Cup. If the Reds win, they win the Ohio Cup, Todd, right? Because they would have won the season series 4-2. But if
this is all we got left, man.
If the Indians win tonight, then it's 3-3, and we keep the cup. Is that how it works?
Yes.
Okay. And then 3 games with the A's, and then
Eric the Actor's A's.
Correct. And then they go back
and
on the road.
Douchebag ex relative of ours. Sorry.
What? Who? What? Of the? Oh. Ooh, baby, that's high and inside. And then, pay the bill. And then Friday, they go back to Detroit. So 3 games with the unnamed team next weekend. I'll actually be there.
How many you were attending? I was just gonna say how many you were attending.
I have a grad party. I have a grad party on Saturday.
I know you loathe to give the Illich family any money, so I was just curious this, how you're going to pull this one off. Freebies?
Freebies on Sunday, yes. That's a done deal. I don't know if I have 2 or 4 yet. I've already told the missus that she's going. She didn't go with me last time, so I need her with me. But I don't know about, I don't know where I'm sitting. I don't know anything. I'll have the pitching matchup for you, but... So, yeah, so that'll be the weekend. And then Friday, I can't go. Saturday, I have something, like I said, a grad party. But, look, like you said, Todd, they're playing out the string. But the one thing we're learning, at least as they dance around 500, is Cal Quantrill's here to stay. Like, you want to talk about penciling in a something for next season. To me, he's your number 4 starter. He's actually pitched a lot better than Plesac lately.
I was just going to say, he may even be the number 3 starter. After he... pitched seven scoreless, right? Friday night? Or did he give up the one? I think it was 7 scoreless.
7 scoreless with 10 strikeouts, no walks.
Yeah, it was incredible. I said, pencil it in big ink, put him in the number 4 spot. And everyone's like firing back at me, why is he number 3? It's been better than Plesac. And I don't think you can argue with that. This you know, 6-week stretch, it's been awesome. And they kind of, I'm not going to say they screwed with him and dicked him around, but he was good in the bullpen at the beginning of the year, and maybe had he performed better in spring. I mean, he wasn't that good in the spring is the problem.
No, he struggled, yeah.
Yeah, had he pitched well in the spring, I think you would have seen this all year, and it really would have stabilized the rotation. Unfortunately, it came a little too late, but, I mean, you look at his last 5 starts, okay? 5 innings, 1 earned run. 6 innings, 1 earned run. 6 innings, 1 earned run. 6 innings, 1 earned run. And 7 innings, no earned runs. I mean, that is really impressive. And this 10 strikeouts and 0 walks was by far his best. But, you know, you look up and you know, at the end of the year, I think you've gotten yourself, you know, you're guaranteed to top 4 with a healthy Bieber, a healthy Savali, Plesac and Quantrill, and then you let guys like Tristan McKenzie and Cody Morris and Mejia and Eli Morgan battle it out for the last spot in 2022, and you're still giving yourself good depth, and you know, there's a lot of good options for the 5th spot. So it's hard to see this team not at least competing, you know, for a wild card spot next year with that kind of pitching. Especially with the bullpen arms. The bullpen's been great. So
It has.
There's a lot to look forward to for sure. I haven't seen a lot of doom and gloom. I just think that there's a lot of apathy going on because they're a 500 team and Tito's not there and the name change is more of a topic and the ownership change is more of a topic. But if they could hit it all and they get these top 5 starters, you know, next year back, with a good bullpen again, they'll be right there. No reason not to.
I mean, the bullpen right now over the last 10 games, ZRA is like 1. I mean, it's been fantastic. The problem is we can't score. So the games are so close that any little mistake, you know, we got on Karinchak last week for having a rough week, and he bounced back this week, but like, except in Toronto.
You know why, by the way? Shout out to DeMarlo Hale. Pitched him in the 7th in like a non-
I thought it was the situation. Wasn't it the sixth?
Sixth. It may have been the sixth. Yeah. Got him his legs back a little
yeah,
bit.
Yeah, D-Hale.
Pitched,
you know,
and then he put him back. He's basically given Manuel Clase, had three saves this week, and it looks like he's going to handle the closer spot.
Fine
so
by me.
I think that would, yeah, me too, especially because he's a member of 10% capacity.
Ooh, I mean, I think that Manny is, you know, you didn't want to use him on Friday when it was 6-0, but then Blake Parker came in and he was dicking around, and it's like, geez, so you have to bring your closer in, so, you know, because the tying run, I think, was like in the on-deck circle, but, or not in the on-deck circle, but you know what I mean. But it was just, it was unnecessary that he even had to pitch him in that game, but we had to win that game, so I like the way that Hale has handled the bullpen. Bullpen's very good. It's only going to get better. You know, Shaw, all of a sudden, he seemed to find it this weekend. And again, it's Detroit, so it's not like they're playing a great team. You know, find out a little bit about this team the next 4 days. I mean, you know, the Reds are hot. They've won 8 of 10. They're 10 over .500 and trying to catch the Padres for the NL second wild card spot. Now they got Castellanos back. Votto is on fire. And
he's been killing us for years.
Oh, God. And then Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Oakland's won 4 in a row and 8 of 10. So, you know, you'll find out the next 4 days, you know, if we can hang with some of these teams, because the Reds and A's really can score. But I'm with you about the future. I mean, you know, the White Sox are really good, and they're going to be really good for a while, and they've been injured and found ways, but their pitching staff has been healthy all season. You know, ours hasn't. It still comes down to pitching. I mean, Bieber and Savali, why would you even bring them back this year? There's no reason to. Like, let them rest and get them ready for next season. There's no reason to bring those guys back this season, I don't think.
And that was another topic of conversation we were having. I totally agree. I think it's pointless to bring them both back. You know, there was an article yesterday that I read with a bunch of quotes about Bieber, and you know, he's just kind of, you know, he had a little setback and now he's kind of starting to throw. He hasn't thrown off a mound yet. Best case scenario, he's back in the middle of September. I don't even know why you bother. I mean, maybe you want to get him a start or two, you know, just to get him out there for a feel. So, but maybe you just shut him down and let him be as healthy as he can possibly be going into next spring. And Savali, I haven't heard a thing about still in terms of his rehab. So it wouldn't surprise me if neither of them made another start, and I would be totally fine with it. I mean, right now, I want to see more of Eli Morgan. I want to see more of Tristan McKenzie. You know, this is a developmental situation the rest of the way. This is about learning and playing the kids and pitching the young kids also and you know, learning about what you have. So I am totally fine if those two don't start. I mean, here, I would feel completely differently if we were 2 games back in the wild card. But we're not, and I think we can both admit that that's not happening. I mean, we're 54 and 55. I mean, it ain't happening. So they're just better off player development. Don't worry about those two. Let them get completely healthy and get them ready for next year. I do have one small worry about Bieber.
Yeah.
Last year, because of the shortened season, he only pitched how many? I don't know. I have it in front of me, but he couldn't have pitched more than 80 innings, maybe, you know, 75 innings. I'd have to look it up. And then this year, again, he will have pitched another small amount of innings. So that's going to be 2 straight years. And this is a guy that you want 220, 230 innings out of. He won't have that under his belt. I don't think it's going to hurt him in terms of development, but you worry that next year, come late in the season, you know, you got to worry about him potentially wearing down because he will not have gone through.
No, it's a very good point. I mean, he's usually been pretty healthy, knock on wood, and obviously this year, like you said, but he pitched a ton and threw a lot of pitches, even though it wasn't a lot of innings last year. I mean, look, last year screwed up everybody, you know, around baseball in terms of the shortened season and then the injuries that have occurred this year based off of last year. Guys like Kershaw have been out. Jack Flaherty, both members of Team D's, you know, so you just guys off the top of my head, Bieber obviously got hurt. Sale's been out. It's been a lot of guys. So I think everybody's in the same boat. And again, if you're talking about, well, what about a contract extension for Bieber? Well, is there even going to be a season next year?
That's another huge thing that who knows what's going to happen with this offseason, because the game is, this is another topic for another day, but the game is broken. It needs a major overhaul, and I don't know how they're just going to snap their fingers and get this together. By the way, Bieber threw 2018, he threw 114 innings. 2019, 214. Last year, he only threw 77, and this year, he threw 90.
Yeah, it's something to think about.
Yeah, it's only 1 year of his 4-year career that he's thrown over 200 innings.
All right, we got to talk about the alleged newest Indian coming up, and get you ready for this week. But first, what's going on with Sean Schlessel?
I don't know what's going on with Dr. Sean because I have not seen him. But you know who I did run into?
Uh-oh.
I was going to get Brooke her phone because she's now, we're now getting her a phone. She's
That's a big step.
Yes. When her brother went to middle school, he got a phone. So now she's getting a phone. So as I'm walking out of the Verizon store or walking into the Verizon store, who do I run into? And I see across the parking lot and I yelled out, "There he is, America's greatest dentist." Looking extra dapper, might I add. Great outfit on Dr. Ben, and even better glasses, might I add. And it's a handsome man. Not only is he a handsome man, but he's America's greatest dentist. So you need to check him out and his partner, the future of the Center for Advanced Dentistry, Dr. Sean Schlessel. If you go to CFAD.net, you'll see what I'm talking about with these two guys on the cover. They put you completely at ease. They want to make it the most friendly and relaxed environment you can, whether you're doing a routine teeth cleaning or a smile reconstruction. They got everything for all your dental needs there at the Center for Advanced Dentistry. On the east side, right off of the Chagrin Boulevard exit off of 271, give them a call when you get a chance at 215-595-1710, or check them out at cfad.net. See what they can do for you. See what they can do for your smile. Tell them the Dairy Brothers sent you. Talk some Cleveland sports. Talk whatever you want. Dr. Ben, Dr. Sean, great guys. Check them out again, cfad.net, or give them a call, 216-595-1710. Now, Matthew.
Yes.
This weekend, when you go to see the Indians play the unnamed team.
Oh, yeah.
Will the missus be wearing your Sticks Tristan McKenzie t-shirt while you're wearing your new Bobby Bombs t-shirt? What's going on?
I don't know the game plan yet because we're 6 days away. But yes, at some point Sunday, it's going to be a tough decision on which shirt to wear to the Tribe unnamed team game at Comerica Park because I have so many options. I have the Tristan McKenzie Sticks shirt from our friends at BreakingT.com. And I also have the new Bobby Bombs shirt, which if Bobby is on the injured list, we'll talk about this, or not. But regardless, any Tribe gear that you want, you get it at BreakingT.com. And if you go to BreakingT.com/Dairy, D-E-R-Y, it takes you right to the Cleveland collection. They got the Bobby Bombs shirt. Some people are saying, I want some Guardians gear. You know, I'm ready for the name change, but I can't get it at the team shop yet. Well, it's because the team doesn't really exist yet with a new name. But you can get a Guard the Land shirt, the brand new one from BreakingT.com, with the red, white, and blue, with the lettering that has changed, the font or whatever they call it. And it's a cool-looking shirt. Browns fans, that's right. They had 30,000 people down on the lakefront yesterday for some freaking scrimmage. The Muni lot was packed. And you can get a Chubb Strong shirt. The guys just got a new contract extension. I know executive producer Jeremy is very excited about his Browns. Well, the Chubb Strong shirt is out. It's a cool-looking shirt. It's got Nick Chubb on there. Get it at BreakingT.com. Browns, Indians, hey, Cavs, they started Summer League last night. All right, check it out. Maybe they'll make an Evan Mobley shirt. Looked a little soft to me, but, hey, it's one game.
You know what, Evan Mobley, soft like the Breaking Team t-shirts.
That's right, 100% cotton. But actually, no, he's going to be pretty good. But, hey, look, if you're into the Cavs and all that, you can get stuff there as well. BreakingT.com/Dairy, D-E-R-Y, takes you right to the Cleveland collection. Get your McKenzie shirt, Jose Ramirez, Franimal, Bobby Bombs, whatever it is. It's cool, and they do a great job, and we appreciate them joining us here on the Dairy Brothers Tribecast.
Do they have a basketball side t-shirt yet?
No, I don't know. That would be a
radio for one, baby.
That'd be in a medium.
Yes.
Anyway, but what about, so the news came out last night on Twitter at Indians Perspective. That's one of these guys that follows the minor leagues, that apparently Francisco Perez, the left-hander who used to be a starter in the system, they turned him into a reliever this year, and he was like, lights out in Akron, lights out in Columbus. Apparently he's coming up today, as reported by Indians Perspective, which would mean what, Todd? Who's going down? I mean, is Bradley going on the IL? What's the story?
Yeah, we looked at the roster last night, and I'm trying to figure out who's the odd man out here. Because Sam Henches is today's starting pitcher. To me, that would be the guy you'd send out, but he's starting today. I think Bobby Bradley must be more hurt and must be going on the IL. I don't see another move unless it's Justin Garza getting sent down. But don't you want Garza today as the longer, you know,
I would assume Henches is going to go into Garza because Stephen threw a bunch of pitches yesterday. Shaw's pitched every day. I mean, you know.
That's exactly what I was going to say. Stephen pitched over 30 pitches yesterday. And he was very good, by the way. Francisco Perez, not on the 40-man roster, so another 40-man move is going to have to be made. You know, he's 24 years old. 71 strikeouts in 45.1 innings pitched is really, really good. That is an eye-popping number. Had a 1.19 ERA between Akron and Columbus, and is a power left-handed arm.
Yeah.
I know the Indians were really hoping that Anthony Gose could kind of figure that out and become that guy. He pitched in the Olympics, by the way, and he made the all-Olympic team. I don't know if you noticed that. But Anthony Gose, the former outfielder turned converted reliever, he's throwing 98-99, but he still does not have the command that the Indians can trust to add him to the 40-man roster. So Perez is getting a shot. I do think Bobby Bradley's got to be going on the IL. I don't know what other move there is to be made. Ernie Clement, Owen Miller, Andrés Giménez, Ahmed Rosario, these guys are kind of all rotating and kind of all need to be playing, and they are. You know, with Bradley going down with a knee over the weekend and he didn't play Saturday or Sunday, you can make that move retroactive to Saturday, and he'd really only just miss another week, 8 days. So I think that's got to be the move, right?
I would think. I mean, unless they were sending like Ernie down, but he seems to be playing every day. Owen Miller, they're playing.
Big bases loaded or bases clearing double yesterday, Ernie.
Yeah, no, it was.
And he's. I know we said this before, but he's really playing. Other than that, the one bad play, he really can pick it. He made another great play at third base Friday night.
Yes, he did.
Oh my God.
Nice jump throw. I don't know what happened. Yeah. I don't know what happened on that fielder's choice yesterday. He just dropped the ball. But you wonder what the move is. But hey, Francisco Perez, the thing about the Indians, they might hold some guys down longer than you want. I mean, there is that faction of fans that wants to see Nolan Jones now or Gabe Arias now. But I think those guys are going to stay the entire way in Columbus this year. But they've rushed arms up that they feel can help now. Nick Sandlin was a second-round pick years ago that now is a huge part of this bullpen and, you know, was not in the minors very long. Francisco Perez, same thing. So, you know, at least from that standpoint, some of the position guys, you know, people are like, oh, bring up Oscar Gonzalez now. Hold on a second. You know, wait a minute. You know, Valera is still at high A. But Perez coming right up, that's pretty cool. If they feel he can help, and, you know, mostly that bullpen is, other than Henches, I think it's all right-handed anyway.
Yeah, I mean, when they got rid of Oliver Perez and Henches was in the rotation, it's, you know, the left-handed reliever thing has kind of gone by the wayside at this point because of that stupid rule where you have to either close out an inning or face three batters. It's killed a lot of these left-handed relievers. Although somehow Ross Detweiler is still in the majors, which is incredible to me. But, you know, if you have a guy, it doesn't matter if he's righty or lefty and is a power arm like Perez and is a strikeout machine. Yeah, let's see what we got. Again, we talked about it before. This is all about development. Let's let's see it. You know, that bullpen still, other than Brian Shaw, everybody else is still a young guy out there for the most part. And Blake Parker, but these aren't, you know, those two guys aren't future. Those are, you know, filler guys. But, you know, Stefan is young, Karinchak, Klase, Sandlin, your core guys are all young guys who have years and years of team control. You throw Perez into that mix. You know, so and Henches will most likely become a reliever, I think, this offseason. So
oh, yeah, yeah.
You got a lot of nice, young, interesting arms out there.
Yes, and that's what the Indians and Guardians have been all about in terms of developing pitchers. The problem has been the position players and the fact that you watch some of these games, and I know Friday night was fun. They put up six runs against, you know, Matt Manning. I'm sorry, Cy Young. And then so it's like now, you know, Saturday and Sunday was just – and yesterday they broke out a little bit, and the Zimmer homer was huge. But you still watch at times and just wonder, where's the offense going to come from, especially if, you know, Ramirez and Reyes in the middle of that lineup aren't hitting. So, all right, so this week, like I said before, 6 o'clock game tonight for the Ohio Cup. Sam Henches against Luis Castillo. Ironically enough, Luis Castillo just pitched against the Indians in the series before that got rained out. So the Indians have seen him before at Progressive Field.
He's having a terrible year.
Yeah.
Terrible.
But, you know, still throws really hard. And then three with the A's this week. Tristan McKenzie on Tuesday against Sean Manaea, the left-hander. The Indians will actually see the same three guys that they saw in Oakland. Manaea, Montas, and Chris Bassett. So it'll be McKenzie on Tuesday against Manaea, Quantrill on Wednesday against Frankie Montas, and then Thursday afternoon. Will you be back in time or no?
Unfortunately, I will not. I will be listening to that one in the car, my friend.
Eli Morgan against Chris Bassett. Friday night.
Which is too bad, because had I been back, it would have been Brooks' first return game to see her boyfriend.
Oh,
Eli
man. Yeah, my daughter saw it. Oh, we were watching Saturday night. She's like, who's that? I'm like, oh, God. I'm like, your cousin says the same thing. Friday night, Zach Plesac.
I don't want to out your daughter and my daughter, who else they thought was kind of cute.
Oh, okay.
Do you remember the original? Yeah.
Yes. Okay, yes, I do. Your favorite Indian.
Let's just say not my favorite player. Okay,
Friday night, Zach Plesac again against the Tigers. Hopefully a better performance than yesterday. His pitches were flat yesterday. I mean, giving up a three-run home run.
A lot of guys all of a sudden, too.
Yeah. Hopefully they find something on tape before next week, because he usually pitches pretty well against that team. But Plesac against Tyler Alexander on Friday. Alexander mowed us down Saturday night. Not sure what that was. But again, that's one of those guys that their pitching coach Federer has worked with that, you know, has gotten better. Saturday, I assume it'll be another bullpen game, unless they bring somebody up. Let's see how Henches does tonight. So Saturday's kind of a question mark. Willie Peralta again for the Tigers. And then on Sunday, with me in attendance, Tristan McKenzie against Casey Mize.
Ooh, a little future action. I like that.
Yeah.
That should be good. Yeah, they're going to have to figure out another starter, because they're in the stretch of, I think they're playing like 19 days in a row here, because Monday was supposed to be their one off day, but it's a makeup game. They're gonna have to figure out who else can. I mean, maybe they're tuning up Cody Morris with a couple of starts before they bring him up. I mean, I know that they just brought him to Double A, but he's got to be next in line, I would imagine. You told me Scott Moss has not pitched more than three innings since he's
And Peacock's been a disaster.
Terrible. I think that's what their plan was, but he's really been bad. And they released who was the other guy they picked up?
Godley,
not Kyle. Yeah, Zach Godley. Thank you. They released him. So
Kyle Davies, he got, or Zach Davies. Was it Zach Davies last night? They got smoked by the White Sox. Man,
he was out in like the second inning.
Man, the White Sox just destroyed the Cubs all weekend.
Are you have any interest in watching that Field of Dreams game?
Is that today? I'll check some of it out. I'll check some of it out. Major League Baseball does such a shitty job of promoting their product. I should know when that game is, and I should be watching.
So should I.
They have no clue what they're doing. None. You know,
yeah, that should be all over the place. And you're right. Totally right. You and I are big baseball fans as there are. And the fact that you and I both don't know for sure.
I don't know. And I know it's the Yankees and White Sox. I just don't know when it is. They do such a bad job. That should be promoted during Indians games, you know, like because that's what we're
Absolutely.
Watching.
Absolutely.
Like, because it's on Fox, it's under the same umbrella.
Yeah, they should be promoting that.
Get Annie Agar out there to promote it.
Speaking of
Trey Wingo.
speaking of
Embassy Suites.
Shout out to Seth Forrest and his son Spencer, who I had the pleasure of being with yesterday.
Oh yeah, how'd that go? How's that ride in the car?
Let's just say I'm happy to be alive. big Yankee fans, and it was good to, you know, Seth's a big baseball guy as we are, and we were having the same conversation, you know, yesterday about how, you know, the three of us are kind of a dying breed here. And, you know, I said, do your friends around here talk, you know, baseball? And he's like, yeah, but that's because it's the Yankees and the Mets. You know, it's everybody, you know, around here, Yankees and the Mets don't matter. But, you know, in other cities other than the big markets, how much do these teams really matter to their local markets? And I said, you know, we're distant, you know, Matt and I are, you know, tribe elite. And, you know, how many of there really of us are there? I mean, the Indians are distant third in the pecking order in Cleveland. So it's just interesting to get someone else's perspective on an outsider's perspective on Major League Baseball from someone who lives in a city where baseball still is meaningful.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Sometimes I'll put on FAN, WFAN out in New York, just to listen to some of the conversation. You wouldn't even believe it. I mean, they're breaking down like Mets versus Phillies bullpens and, you know, Edwin Diaz is the single worst reliever in the history of the sport, and people are calling in. Mets got to get a closer, and they got to move this guy up to closer. And if Syndergaard comes back, and you listen to this conversation, you go, if you put on the Fan in Cleveland 92.3, where I fill in on some shows, we could never have a conversation like that. It's 90% Browns talk, you know?
Absolutely. Doesn't move the needle. Football, football, football.
So. All right, brother. Well, safe travels, and we'll see how the big Ohio Cup game tonight. Tribe needs to win to hold on to the cup. If not, it heads to Cincinnati, where, quite honestly, they have a good baseball team. That lineup is scary. Jonathan India is up for NL Rookie of the Year. Castellanos, Votto, Winker's a beast. What I told you in the offseason, that would have been a guy I would have loved to have traded for.
You've wanted him for 2 years.
I mean, you know, he's been unbelievable, so... Big game tonight, and then we'll see how it goes, and I'll report back next week after my trip downtown on Sunday. So,
best of luck to you, my friend.
Yeah, I'm a lock for Bucharest pregame. Ooh, baby.
Hey now.
There's not a better beef shawarma out there. Throw the garlic and the hummus in there. Doesn't get any better than that. Because you know I'm not buying any food in that stadium.
Hell no.
No.
Support local unless that local is owned by the Oaches.
That's right. That's right. All right. Well, that'll do it. Dairy Brothers Tribecast for another week. Thanks to our friends at WaitingForNextYear.com. And, of course, our sponsors, the Center for Advanced Dentistry and BreakingTea.com.
Welcome to Novel Conversations, a podcast about the world's greatest stories. I'm your host, Frank Lavallo, and for each episode of Novel Conversations, I talk to two readers about one book, and together we summarize the story for you. We introduce you to the characters, we tell you what happens to them, and we read from the book along the way. So if you love hearing a good story, you're in the right place. Our 9th season is coming this fall. Tune in to hear from some of the all-time great authors, Charles Dickens, Jules Verne, F. Scott Fitzgerald, and more. Subscribe to Novel Conversations wherever you listen to podcasts.